Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel reading you've heard for today. I'm going to read again the four Beatitudes, the four statements of blessing and happiness that Jesus proclaimed. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, crucified but raised again, dear fellow redeemed, don't you love it when the tables are turned? Everybody likes to root for the underdog who comes out on top. We pull for the team that everybody sees as losers, a team that has been mocked and despised, but what a joyful day it is when they beat those who are the favorites. The newspapers call it an upset. The tables are turned. We pull for the guy who is just starting his own business in his garage, and he gets the big contract instead of that big established company. We cheer on the single mom who takes on the establishment. We root for the scrawny little kid who's been picked on by his classmates, and we cheer when he comes out on top of the class bully. The first becomes last, and the last become first. And the people look on and wonder and say, who would have thought that it could turn out this way? We rejoice with the guy who stocks the shelves at the grocery store and becomes the quarterback for the Super Bowl champions. Well, in the text today, the turning of the tables is expressed in a pair of opposite statements. Blessed and woe. You see, the turning of the tables works both ways. Another way of saying it would be, oh, the happiness of those who are blessed, and the opposite, how terrible it will be for those to whom there is woe. Jesus came to turn the tables. We see it in his healing here. The text begins with Jesus healing all kinds of diseases and helping those who were bothered with unclean spirits, they're cured. We see it in the resurrection of Jesus, how God turned the tables. Jesus despised, spat upon, crucified, his body broken and beaten, laid in the tomb, but on the third day he rises triumphant. This is the power of God to turn the tables, what he has at work for each of us. And Jesus, in these pairs of blessings and woes, talks about four different pairs. The first has to do with the matter of wealth. Now, the appearance is that the wealthy are the people who are happy and blessed. How comfortable they seem to be wherever they go and whatever they do. The poor, however, seem to be the ones who have the woe. Think of the poorest of the poor around the world, people living in the city dumps in the large cities of Asia. They stress and break their backs and scrape together just to try to scrape together something to eat for their loved ones. There's no comfort, no luxuries, no medical care, no pension plan, no social security, no one to speak up for them in the courts. The appearance is this. Blessed are you who are rich, and woe to you who are poor. But that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus says. Jesus, the one and only teacher who always got it right, he says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Another way of saying it is, what happiness there is for you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. But oh, the sorrows that await the rich. Now, to help us understand, remember that poor and rich speak about much more than just monetary value. In Matthew 5, the parallel puts it this way, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To be poor in spirit means that we admit our sins and our lack of righteousness. It means we come before God as beggars, knowing that we are broke, we have no good thing to bring before Him, but we come with our hands open, ready to receive His gifts. It means that when we come before God and confess that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners, we indeed deserve nothing but punishment, then we receive the blessings. If God were to repay us the wages we deserved, we would receive only eternal death in hell. But if we confess our utter spiritual bankruptcy, our complete lack of anything that could buy God's favor, and instead put our trust in the works and gifts of Jesus on our behalf, then we have the kingdom of heaven. This reality is expressed in the present tense. It is true here and now, even if it cannot be seen by others. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. To us poor, miserable sinners belong all the treasures of the kingdom of God. The righteousness of Christ counts as ours. Before God in heaven, it is just as though the good deeds of Christ were done by us. We will be rewarded for His works. The value of His holy, precious blood poured on the cross has accrued to us. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. That's a lot of turning the tables right there. We are described in Holy Scripture as kings and priests. Jesus will have a place for us with Him on His throne. We are a royal, precious people, purchased for God, the apple of His eye, purchased by the infinite price of the life of His one and only Son. It's a reality here and now. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The second pair has to do with nourishment. The second pair of statements, here too, Jesus turns the table. For now it seems that those who are well fed are satisfied and happy now, while those who hunger have misery and woe. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry." The time is coming when the hungry will be satisfied, and those who are now well fed will go hungry. Here again, there's more than meets the eye. To be hungry is not just to be in need of food, but to have a yearning, a desire. In Psalm 84, it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My flesh and my heart sing for joy to the living God." He was hungry to be where God was. And when it comes to being satisfied, remember Jesus' teaching that He is the bread of life. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is My flesh." Those who believe in Jesus have their deepest hunger and yearning satisfied. Even if they lack proper bodily nourishment, they will be satisfied in the courts of God's eternal house. We don't see it now, but we will see it later. And it all happens because Jesus allowed the tables to be turned on Him. The very Son of God, in glory and majesty from all eternity, having become man, humbles Himself, lives in poverty, is persecuted, suffers, and dies on the cross, laid to rest in the grave. He gave up everything Even the clothes on his back were taken from him. He thirsted there on the cross when he suffered damnation for us, so that we might be raised up and we might eat at the banquet feast of the risen Lord forever. Now, the third pair of statements has to do with, let's call it, our emotional well-being. Are you happy or sad? Not what seems to be. Happy are those who laugh, and woe to those who weep. What could be more obvious? And yet, this won't last. Jesus says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Those who laugh off the warnings of Christ and his urging to repent, if they continue in that attitude, will be eternally cast out of the kingdom into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. In our Bible study today, it speaks about Lot. And remember how Lot begged the men betrothed to his daughters. He begged them to come out of Sodom with them, telling them that the Lord was going to destroy the place. But what did they do? They laughed. They thought it was a joke. Now, James, the brother of our Lord, writes about this in James chapter 4. He says, God gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You see, the people who now mourn will have the last laugh. They are the ones who will enter eternal, heartfelt, genuine joy, laughter that will never end. When we come before God weeping over our sinful condition, mourning the way the world has rejected the Lord Jesus, saddened by unfaithfulness in the church, then we're ready for a beautiful surprise. The gospel of Jesus says to you, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven, rejoice, you have a place in heaven with your name on it, you are mine forever. And that laughter begins even now when the repentant sinner rejoices in God's salvation. Remember Sarah and Abraham? They knew what laughter was all about. In their old age, God again promised them a son. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed when they heard it. But after that son was born, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old, they laughed for joy, and they named their son Isaac, which means he laughs. The children of Israel laughed with joy when they came back from the exile. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. On the last day, that joy will reach its fullness. That's the reality. A reading from 1 Corinthians 15 makes it sure and certain because Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, there's one more pair of statements of blessings and woes, and it has to do with our social standing. Now, it seems to be this way. Blessed or happy are you when people speak well of you, and woe to you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, reject you, make up bad things to say about you. But in Jesus, the tables are already turned. He explains that it is the false prophets whom everybody spoke well of. It was the true prophets of the Lord who were hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected. That's a great assurance for all of us, especially those who share the Word of God. We dare not measure our God-pleasingness according to how well we are pleasing people. The measure of our message is not how many people think we are great stuff, but rather how many people speak against us. That's the reality of the situation, because the world does not like Jesus and his message. May God continue to open our eyes to understand what Jesus came to do for us. May we look beyond the appearance of things now to see what they really are and what they will be for all eternity. May he grant that we would always be the poor, possessing the kingdom, the hungry who will be satisfied, the weeping who will rejoice with laughter, the excluded and despised who will prove faithful like the prophets of old. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of response is Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been made known in the preaching and miracles of Jesus Christ. Gather together your great multitude from every Gentile nation and from Judea's remnant, that many may know wisdom come in our flesh. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not believe it in vain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, preserve the family and all godly Christian homes. Give parents diligence and persistence in their duties to teach the faith in word and example. Keep all children in the promise you made to them in their baptism. And to that end, O Lord, bless Dean, Megan, Dylan, Tricia, Nicole, and Jessica, celebrating anniversaries of baptism. Let the patience, kindness, and endurance of Christian love have no end among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, do not let our rewards and blessings consist in the treasures and goods of this world. Give us joy in every sorrow, knowing that if we have you, we lack nothing, and will receive an eternal reward in Christ that cannot fail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, be near to those who are troubled by any unclean spirit or memory or thought, those who struggle with depression or other ailments. Lord, be with the sick and all who need your healing. We turn to you especially for Ron Hoffman at Barnes, for Eunice, that you would bless her surgery this Tuesday, for Patty, Stacy, Kelly, Wayne, Becky and Maria, Terry and Deb, Becky, Gretchen, Douglas, and Sarah, for Rosemary, Mike, Matthew, and Bill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send forth your power in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word and be cured, if it is your word, if it is your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Father, we pray that you would bless your message brought throughout the world by our missionaries, that you would help us with love by word and deed to reach out to our inactive members, that your Spirit would bless the materials we send to the Correctional Center, that you would provide everything needed by Unity Lutheran Elementary, Christian Elementary School. Lord, we pray that you would bless Trinity St. John. Be with Mrs. Kurtz as she considers the call to Fort Wayne. Send us a competent teacher to serve in the place of Mrs. Bax after she retires. Be with Pastor Janicki as he considers the call to our circuit. If it please you, move him to accept this call and move Mrs. Kurtz to remain with us at TSJ. Protect and help Pastor Jacob as he serves in Uganda these next 2 weeks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bless you for your gifts in holy matrimony, especially for Dave and Kara celebrating their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, your Son is risen from the dead and has promised that he will only be the first fruits from among those who sleep. Preserve us in Christ Jesus with hope beyond this life. Comfort all those who mourn with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, and let us live in confident expectation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of Jesus, your Son, who is worshipped together with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own, and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Our closing hymn is On What Has Now Been Sown.